Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, sisters, we will continue the classes of the treatment of anxiety, and we are learning about the belief in Allah's decree, and we are learning about the first aspect of the belief in Allah's decree, which is Allah's knowledge, and the title of the class today is Prayer of Guidance. Last week, we already learned that only Allah knows the unseen, that is to say, the future and all its events. This week, inshallah, we will learn the practice of this knowledge in our life, that is to say, prayer of guidance, istikhara prayer. Before learning about istikhara prayer, that is to say, the prayer of guidance, we will learn about some wrong practices that were done in the past, and continuing now about the trial of the human being to know about the future. The first of these wrong practices is that the Arabs before Islam were superstitious. Actually, superstition made up a large part of the belief system of the Arabs before Islam. They used to predict the course of the future events from the direction in which birds were flying. For example, they would not undertake a journey or do anything important without first determining that it would be safe to do so. How? By looking at birds. If the birds flew from right to left in front of them, that was a bad omen, so they would cancel the trip. But if flight is in the other direction, this was a good omen and they would go on with the journey. Also, during travel, if a deer crossed going from right to left, the trip was cancelled. Very simple. In conclusion, through superstition, they were trying by all the means to avoid any harm regarding the future. Another form of trying to know the future is horoscopes. So let us learn about the Islamic ruling on horoscopes. Not only the practice of astrology is forbidden in Islam, but also visiting an astrologist and listening to his predictions, buying books on astrology, and reading horoscopes are all forbidden in Islam. And actually, this is haram even. Not accepted in Islam.
Even for fun?
Even for fun.
I didn't know that.
Even for, no.
Before I came into Islam, I used to buy those things every week and read them. Those little scroll things. You're going to have this good thing today.
Everything will be all right. Why it is forbidden in Islam? Because astrology is mainly used for prediction of the future. Those who practice it are considered fortune tellers. Accordingly, one who seeks his horoscope comes under the ruling contained in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statements. Whoever approaches a fortune teller and believes in what he says has disbelieved in what was revealed to Muhammad. You know, if someone will believe in, you know, whatever the fortune teller will say.
It's like you believe in that, you don't believe in Allah's decree.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This means that you are not a believer in the Quran, in the Holy Quran. I will clarify to you, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, said, the salah, the daily prayer of those who approach a fortune teller will not be accepted for 40 days and nights. You see how it is very dangerous. Actually, why? Why Allah is clarifying this punishment regarding asking, you know, the fortune teller about the events of the future, because if one believes in the predictions of the horoscopes, he falls directly into the disbelief. The punishment in this hadith is simply for approaching and asking the fortune teller. Why? Because actually you must believe that only Allah is the all-knower of the unseen. None of the human beings know about the unseen. And now, inshallah, I will give you the proof about this fact. Actually, this hadith is in regard to the fortune teller, but it is just an applicable to whoever claims the knowledge of the future. You know, because it is not only the horoscopes, it is, you know, for the people whom they read, you know, your hand, when you ask someone to look to your hand and to read the lines in your hand, whatever is related to knowing the future, this is totally forbidden in Islam.
And the same thing, like when you go to the Chinese restaurant and you get the fortune cookie, it's wrong to read those two?
Is that also wrong?
Actually, just read it, you know, but you never believe in it.
Right.
You can read it.
Oh, okay.
But with the belief that none knows the unseen except
right.
Allah.
Yeah.
Okay?
We're having to look at it. I don't even open it anymore.
Actually, essentially, horoscopes and astrology represent an attempt to escape destiny. Those ignorant people believe that if they know what is in store for them tomorrow, they can prepare from today. If that way, they may avoid the bad and ensure the good. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us about that fact in Surah number 7, verse number 188, so that we will be sure 100% that none knows the unseen except Allah, and we are not supposed to ask anyone about the unseen or about the future. So we recite now from Surah number 7, verse number 188.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء إن أنا إلا نذير وبشير لقوم يؤمنون
صدق
الله العظيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, I possess no power over benefit or hurt to myself except as Allah wills. If I had the knowledge of the unseen, I should have secured for myself an abundance of wealth, and no evil should have touched me. I am but a warner and a bringer of glad tidings unto people who believe.
So actually, sister, this is a declaration from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, the best ever created human being, who is saying that he has no power over the unseen. He has no power over the benefit or benefit or hurt to himself except as Allah's will. He has no knowledge of the unseen. Because if he had any knowledge about the unseen, he should have secured for himself an abundance of wealth, and no evil should have touched me. I am but a warner and a bringer of the glad tidings to the people who believe. So in this verse of the Quran, it is clear that only Allah is the one who knows the unseen, and the unseen is what lies beyond the reach of the human perception. Allah doesn't give his knowledge to any human being. In his great position of honor and his closeness to his Lord, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, is commanded to declare to mankind that when it comes to the knowledge of the unseen, he is only a human being who can't cause himself neither benefit nor harm. This is because he is not given that knowledge. Why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, is declaring that fact? Because he doesn't have the knowledge, nor is he one to know the destination before starting the journey. No one is supposed to know his destination, okay, before the end of his journey on the earth, nor does he know the consequences of actions before they take place. So he can choose his actions on basis of its consequences because they are withheld from him. The meaning is that if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that there will be a lot of harm for him in Mecca, he would escape Mecca from day one. But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he doesn't know what he was supposed to face in Mecca. So he stayed in Mecca years and he was exposed to a lot of hatred and actually harm from the people of Mecca. Then when he moved to Medina, there was other kinds of problems. He doesn't know anything. So he is clarifying that if he has the knowledge of the unseen, he will avoid the harm and he will have a lot of benefit. But this doesn't happen in his life. His life was full of struggles. All his life until the time of his death, he was living in struggle. This means that he doesn't have any knowledge about the unseen. In conclusion, with this declaration from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must believe that only Allah is the one who has the knowledge of the unseen. Accordingly, we must not ask any person or believe at all that there is any human being who knows anything about the unseen. The unseen is only to Allah, the Almighty. Accordingly, if we have this belief clear in our spirit, we will know that Allah the Almighty, the Most Merciful, He helped us in regards to our worry and fear about the future through the prayer of guidance. So today, inshallah, we will learn about the prayer of guidance in details, so that inshallah, all the time, we will not have any worry or fear regarding the events of the future, regarding taking decisions in the future, because inshallah, this prayer will clarify to us a lot of facts. What is the meaning of istikhara? Istikhara is an Arabic word which means seeking guidance to make a decision. Seeking guidance. Seeking guidance from Allah the Almighty. Seeking guidance from Allah to make a decision concerning something. Okay? In Islamic terminology, istikhara means seeking guidance to the right decision. Seeking guidance to the right decision. That is to say, seeking guidance as to what Allah knows is the best and most appropriate choice by means of a prayer and a special dua. So, prayer of guidance is a prayer which has a special supplication. Through this supplication, we are asking Allah the Almighty to choose for us the best, because He is the all-knower of the unseen. So we depend on Allah the Almighty to choose for us what is the best for us. So the question is, what are the reasons for this prayer, the prayer of guidance, or in Arabic it is called istikhara prayer? So what is more easy for you to say, the prayer of guidance better for you than istikhara prayer of guidance?
Them are easy.
Istikhara
is easy.
Okay. Istikhara is okay. Okay. So what is the reason for salat al-istikhara or prayer of istikhara? That is to say, in what circumstances should one pray this prayer? Istikhara is prescribed in cases where a person doesn't know the right decision to make. Okay? That is to say, in cases where there is a conflict, when a person has a choice of two things and must decide which one to choose. Okay, for example, which college should he get admission into? Or if he should open this business or not? Or if he should undertake this journey or not? Or if one should marry him or her or not? Or if one should invest in this or not? So in all these circumstances, Allah the Almighty is giving us the help through Salat al-Istikhara. We will call on Him and we will ask Him to choose for us the best. Then we will feel confident regarding Allah's choice. So what is the wisdom behind this prayer? The reason why istikhara is prescribed is that it is submission to the command of Allah. How it is a submission to the command of Allah? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, actually used to teach his companions to make istikhara in all matters, just as he used to teach them the surahs from the Holy Quran. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's blessings and peace be upon him, said, if any one of you is in doubt, that is to say, not sure, not clear about a decision he has to make, then let him pray two rak'ahs of non-obligatory prayer and say the supplication. Okay, so in Islam it is agreed that istikhara is a sunnah. So you must do it. It is the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you want to follow Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you must pray this prayer whenever you have a doubt regarding taking a decision. So the reason why it is prescribed, number one, it is the submission to the command of Allah, and also it is a practical demonstration that man has no power and no strength and no knowledge. Because I don't have the power, this is what we will clarify now when we will learn in details about the supplication. Man has no power, man has no strength, man has no knowledge. Okay? It means turning to Allah and seeking to combine the goodness of this world and the hereafter in order to achieve that, one has to knock at the door of the King Allah, may he be glorified, and there is nothing more beneficial in this regard than that prayer, because that prayer involves praising Allah and expressing your need to him, then Allah will make it easy for you to be directed to the direction which is the best for you. The next question is, when should you start, or a Muslim start praying istikhara? The person who wants to pray istikhara should have an open mind and not have dedicated on a specific course of action. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that, for example, if someone has the option to marry, has the option to choose between two women to marry them, okay? But he has some, emotions regarding one of them, okay? But still he is not sure which is better for him. He is supposed to forget completely about his feelings. Okay? He is supposed to have the open mind. What is the meaning of the open mind? The open mind means to be ready for any of the choices. Not for the one which, I have some emotions towards her. No. If you pray Salat al-Istikhara, you must get your emotions out and you must leave all the matter to Allah to direct it to the direction which Allah knows that this is the best for you. Okay, so number one, you should have an open mind and not have dedicated on a specific course of action, and also it should be prayed when you start to think of the matter. At the minute you start to feel that I don't know how to decide what to choose, at that point you must go ahead and pray this prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So let us now learn about the supplication, or first let us learn how to pray this prayer. Okay? Number one, you will do wudu. Okay? You will wash for wudu, ablution. Number two, to pray Salat al-Istikhara, you can pray it either isolated, or you can pray it with any sunnah prayer, non-obligatory prayer. So for example, now we will pray Dhuhr prayer. I can't do Dua al-Istikhara or supplication of Istikhara after any obligatory prayer. But if after Salat al-Dhuhr I have the intention to pray sunnah prayer, so at the same time I have the intention to do Istikhara prayer. So I will have two intentions, one for sunnah prayer of the Dhuhr and one for Istikhara. There must be an intention. Okay? Then you can, after you finish the two rak'ahs of sunnah, you can start saying the dua to Allah, which we will learn it in detail now. This is one option. The other option is that after you pray the sunnah prayer, you have the intention and you start to pray two other rak'ahs with the intention that this is istikhara. So you can combine istikhara with any sunnah prayer, or you can pray istikhara alone. In both cases, okay, you must have the intention. Okay, this is very important. After you pray the two rak'ahs, you will say the dua, which we will learn it now, inshaAllah. And then after you finish the dua, okay, you can say the dua while you are still in prayer or after finishing the prayer. The two options are right. Okay? Then, how I will know The Salat al-Istikhara will help me. What can I do after this? I already did, you know, the prayer and I did the dua. Okay? Actually, in order to know about the result, okay, number one, you must know that it is not to wait for a dream. This is totally wrong, because many people, they believe that there will be a dream which will clarify to them what direction to choose. This is wrong. Okay, there is no dream and there is no special indication. Nothing will happen. Except that what Allah will make it easy for you, this is what is good for you. How your matter will move, how your decision will be taken in an easy way. If it is an easy way, this is the good for you. If you feel that there are obstacles and difficulties, this is an indication that Allah is pushing you away from doing it. Okay? And inshallah, I will clarify to you this in full detail after we will learn about the dua itself, because the most important in prayer of guidance, Salat al-Istikhara, is the dua. And the most important, sisters, regarding the dua is to do that dua. This is the secret of this prayer. Okay? Because many Muslims are under the impression that there is no benefit from this prayer. Actually, to tell you how most of the Muslims believe. We are doing Salat al-Istikhara, then we take a decision, then that decision is wrong. And it is causing for me a lot of troubles. So I don't know what is the benefit of Salat al-Istikhara. Why people are having this wrong impression about Salat al-Istikhara? Because they don't know what is the secret of Salat al-Istikhara. The secret of Salat al-Istikhara, sister, is the deep belief that Allah knows the best. Allah chooses the best. Up to your belief in Allah, you will be convinced with the result of Salat al-Istikhara. For example, if I do Salat al-Istikhara to have an operation, for example, for my knee joint. And then, you know, after I did Salat al-Istikhara, I have a visit for the physician, and he told me, I am sorry, you are not, I can't do for you the operation, it is too late. For example, I am supposed to say to myself, so I will be all the time having this inability to walk, but this is the best for me. Most of the people, they can have the operation done. But Allah planned for me that the operation will not be done. So I will be in this status the rest of my life. Because I believe that Allah is the one who knows everything, He knows the unseen, and He is the one who chooses the best, so I will not compare my situation with the other people. I will not question, oh Allah, why for me it will not be done in spite of the fact I did Salat al-Istikhara. I am supposed to say all praise to Allah. Allah chooses for me the best. I am sure that the operation would not be successful for me. Okay? So I accept that from the doctor and I am very thankful to Allah and I forget completely about the operation. Okay, this is how we are supposed to get the benefit of this prayer. When you believe in the depths of your heart that whatever Allah chooses is the real best for you, you will not know today. You will know that later on. And actually, this happened for me. The doctor told me you cannot have the operation. It happened later on that I have to have minor surgery. And during the anesthesia, I was lost totally. They were not be able to get me out of the anesthesia. And it was a very minor surgery. So after that minor surgery, I realized why Allah didn't expose me to the major surgery of knee replacement. Because I have a problem regarding anesthesia. So out of His knowledge, He stopped me from having the surgery because I was about to die during the anesthesia. So all the time, the secret of that prayer is your personal deep belief in Allah's knowledge. When you believe that Allah knows everything, Allah chooses the best, that's it. I will pray Salat al-Istikhara and I will be content with all what Allah will plan for me. Okay, so let us now inshallah know about what is this dua and what is the meaning of that dua, so that when we recite the dua or when we read the dua, we read it from the depth of our heart and inshallah we get the benefit of that prayer. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said The dua is to say, O Allah.
Okay, then we can read in English.
You have it in Arabic?
اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم هذا الأمر خيرا لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فأقدره ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه اللهم إن كنت تعلمه شرا لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاصرفني عنه واصرفه عني واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم أرضني به.
O Allah, I seek your counsel by your knowledge and by your power. I seek strength and I ask you from your immense favor. And verily you are able while I am not, and verily you know while I do not. And you are the knower of the unseen, O Allah. If he know that this affair, and here he mentions his need to be good for me in relations to my religion, my life and end, then decree and facilitate it for me and bless me with it. And if you know that this affair to be ill for me toward my religion, my life, and then in my end, then remove it from me and remove me from it and decree for me what is good wherever it may be and make me set aside with such.
Actually, I will read it again in a different English language.
I'm sorry.
No, this is good one, but this is more easy one.
Okay.
Oh Allah, I seek your guidance by virtue of your knowledge, and I seek ability by virtue of your power, and I ask you of your great bounty. You have power, I have none, and you know, I know not. You are the knower of the hidden things. O Allah, if in your knowledge this matter, then you should mention that matter. If this matter is good for me, both in this world and in the hereafter, that is to say, in my religion, my life, and my affairs, then ordain it for me, make it easy for me, and bless it for me. And if in your knowledge it is bad for me, and for my religion, my life, and my affairs in this life and in the hereafter, then turn me away from it, and turn it away from me, and ordain for me the good, wherever it may be, and make me pleased with it. So let us now.
Easier to understand.
In English. Yeah. So now, inshallah, we want to know what is the meaning of this supplication, so that inshallah we will call on Allah with the depth of the heart of our hearts with this supplication. Actually, this supplication consists of three parts. The first part is praising Allah. How we are praising Allah in the first part, when we say, O Allah, I seek guidance by virtue of your knowledge, this is the declaration that Allah is the all-knower. And when you say, O Allah, I seek ability by virtue of your power, this is the declaration that Allah is the most powerful. And when we say, and I ask you of your great bounty, this is the declaration that Allah is the owner of everything and the most generous. Actually, whenever you call on Allah for any supplication, you must start by praising Allah. You know, this is one of the facts regarding the accepted supplication. Number one, praising Allah. Number two, part two in this supplication is admitting the great need to Allah. Admitting the great need to Allah by saying, you know, I know not. This means that I am ignorant and you are the all-knower. And when you say, you have power, I have none. This means that man is powerless. O Allah, I am powerless and you are the all-powerful. And when you say, you are the knower of the hidden things, you are sending to Allah the message that I believe that you are the only one who knows the unseen. So now, this is part one, praising Allah. Part two, admitting the great need to Allah. What about part three? Part three is related to the matter you want Allah to choose for you. Okay? So regarding that matter, it is the great, it is Allah's knowledge that will choose for you. Okay, suppose that matter is good for you in this life and in the hereafter. Okay, suppose. Okay, and I will give you a clear example now. Okay, so you are saying to Allah, if that matter is good for me, for example, to marry that girl, or to marry that man, or to have that job, or to become pregnant, or to have a journey, or to start a business. If it is good for me, then you ask Allah for three things. Okay? Number one, ordain it for me. That is to say, make it to happen for me, because maybe it is good for me, but it will not happen to me. Okay? So number one, ordain it for me. That is to say, make it to happen to me. Number two, make it easy for me. Because it can be very difficult for you. It is good, okay, to start the business, but you are not able. It is extremely difficult. So you ask Allah, number two, to make it easy for you. Number three, to bless it for you. Because this is the most important for any deed to be or action to be successful, is the blessing of Allah. So you have three requests from Allah if that choice is good. Number one, to happen. Number two, to be easy. And number three, to be blessed. Okay? This is the benefit from this prayer. Suppose it is the opposite way. Suppose that what I am looking for, to have the journey or to have a baby or to start a business, it is bad for me. So I am calling on Allah, who knows the reality. Okay, I am calling on Allah for four things, if it is bad for me. Number one, turn me away from it. What is the meaning of this? And this is very important. My heart will not be attached to it. Because maybe I will move to another direction, but my heart is still attached, you know, to that issue which Allah doesn't plan it for me. So number one, turn me away from it. My heart will not be attached to it. Number two, turn it away from me. Okay? What is the meaning, turn it away from me? Move it from my life. Okay? So that I will not keep on thinking of it all the time. It is not good for me. I want to forget it. Number three, ordain for me the good, wherever it may be. So you are asking Allah to replace for you that bad choice with a good one. Number four, and the most important, to make you pleased and content with what Allah chooses for you. So you have four requests from Allah if your choice was bad. To start the job is not good. To have the journey is not good. So Allah will not make you to have it. So you ask Allah to turn you away from it. That is to say, to make your heart not attached, to make that decision away from your life. Number three, to choose for you something to substitute it. And number four, to make you pleased and content with that substitution. Let us now learn these facts in a practical example. Regarding marriage, okay, suppose a man, he wants to propose to a girl, okay, and he is not sure that girl, his marriage to her will be good for him on the long life or not. So he did Salat al-Istikhar, okay. If that good or that marriage will be a good for him, okay, he is asking Allah, okay, to make the steps of marriage, to make the marriage to happen. Because maybe that girl is good for him, but it may not be his wife. So he is calling on Allah. So long, Allah, you know that girl will have a good marriage with me. Oh Allah, make that marriage to happen. This is number one. Number two, make it easy for me. Because maybe you will start, you know, to propose, and then they will ask for a lot of money and for a lot of furniture. So it becomes very difficult, in spite of the fact it is good. But it is extremely difficult. So we ask Allah for what is good for us, to make it easy for us. And number three, to bless us, you know, in that decision. The blessing of Allah is the most important, because this is the success. If we want any decision to be successful, we need the blessing of Allah. So this is regarding, you know, that girl with a good one. Suppose the other way, that person wants to propose to a girl, but that marriage, that girl is not, will not be good for him. Okay? So he is asking Allah, Number one, to turn him from that girl. How? To make his heart not to be attached to her. Because he was about to propose. But she's not good. So still his heart, you know, is attached to her. So to forget about her completely, because this is not the good decision. Number one, to forget about it. Number two, to make it away from his life. Okay, so that he will not keep on thinking all the time about that bad choice. This is a bad choice. This is a very dangerous choice. And actually, sisters, the bad choice in our life are very dangerous, because they may have reflections in our life until the day of our death. You will pay the price for the wrong choice all your life. Accordingly, if it is bad, O Allah, turn me away, turn it away, give me a substitution, and the most important, make me to be content with that substitution, so that I will never regret, you know, marrying that one whom I have some feeling towards her. Okay? So this is how Salat al-Istikhara can give us a lot of benefit. How it can give us a lot of benefit? The most important feeling for every one of us in this life is the feeling that I am accepting Allah's decree. This is the most important, to be content with Allah's decree. When someone will come and tell you, are you happy with the marriage of that girl? He will answer, I did Salat al-Istikhara. And Allah make it easy for me. And Allah, alhamdulillah, up till now is blessing us. So inshallah, this is the good choice. Because it is after the choice of Allah. Okay, so this is the most important. Number one, to be content with the choice of Allah. Because the most dangerous feeling for the spirit is the doubt. Is the doubt. For example, he is not sure that girl is good or not. If he marries her, maybe she is not the good. If he didn't marry her, he will regret marrying her. So all the time he will be sad regarding the decision. So to give the decision to Allah is the only way to have mental peace. I am not the one who chooses. The one who chooses is the only one who knows the unseen. And all praise to Allah, I am an obedient servant to Him. And He sent for us this prayer so that He is helping us to choose the best for us. So I follow, you know, the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So I am sure that inshallah, this is the best. So you will have the feeling of content regarding Allah's decision. And this is actually the only way to be away from the fear, from the anxiety, from the unhappiness. Why? Because I am not the one who chooses. For example, my daughter can go to that college or to that college. Both of them are good. Okay, she is interested in one of them, but my feelings are not good. So we have different points of view. So both of us will pray Salat al-Istikhara. Then next day, we will find a phone call. Come, your daughter is accepted in that college and we will give her a very good scholarship. Allah, that's it. That's it. You know, this is how Allah is planning our life. He will direct you to what is good for you, and you are supposed to say, this is from Allah, this is Allah's decision, this is Allah's choice, all praise to Allah. I am sure, inshallah, that this choice is the best for my daughter. Okay? Sometimes problems will happen. No problem. Because life is full of problems. Still, you must stick to the belief that so long Allah is the one who made the choice, okay, this is good for me. Why many people are not happy with this prayer? Because their belief in Allah's knowledge is not sincere. They don't have the sincerity. They are not sure. Maybe, maybe not. They will never feel content in their life. If you don't feel content with Allah's choice, how you will feel content with your choice? And you don't know anything and Allah knows everything. You refuse the choice of Allah and you want to follow your choice. You will never feel content. You will never feel satisfied. You will never feel mental peace. And this is why most of the people are not having mental peace. Because they choose, then they regret. Okay? But when you leave it to Allah the Almighty, number one, you will have the feeling of acceptance, and you will have mental peace and tranquility. Number two, no regret. regarding Allah's choice, as He is the all knower of the unseen. Number three, no despair regarding Allah's choice, as Allah is the most merciful and the all knower. If I believe that Allah is the most merciful and He chooses for us this way, how come I will say this is not good for me? I will never say it. It is out of my dictionary. Out. So long I believe that Allah is the all-knower and Allah is the most merciful. Number four, I will have full hope that I will be all the time pleased and content with that decision. And actually, sisters, we must understand that when you want to feel content, you will feel content. Okay? When you try to find, to search for good things, you will find the good things. And when you try to search for the bad things regarding your choice, you will find it. So it is up to you. When you believe from the depth of your heart that this is from Allah and this is the best, you will be all the time content and you will try all the time to find the good things in Allah's choice. And this is the only way to accept Allah's decree. Now, inshallah, we will have some questions, common questions regarding Salat al-Istikhara, so that inshallah we will get the benefit of these questions. Question number one. Before the question, sisters, actually from my personal experience with this prayer. Long time ago, I was under the impression that I must do Salat al-Istikhara all the time. I was doing it, and sometimes I have the feeling that, you know, the direction is not the one which is, you know, the good for me, sometimes. But after, out of Allah's mercy, He made me to learn about who is Allah, and I learned about the knowledge of Allah, and how it is so great. When that knowledge of Allah was clear to my spirit, I returned again to Salat al-Istikhara with a new vision. And now you can't imagine how this prayer is very important for me. If I want to make a phone call with someone whom I am not sure how her reaction would be after sunnah prayer, okay, I will do Salat al-Istikhara. If I call her and no answer, all praise to Allah. All praise to Allah. I will never call again. And, you know, Allah doesn't want me to be hefted today.
You only answer the first time, we'll keep trying.
Yes. This is a very important, you know, fact. People are asking how many times we are supposed to repeat Salat al-Istikhara. Actually, Salat al-Istikhara is successful from the first time. But sometimes the people are not happy with the result. So they keep on repeating it until they reach the decision which they like. And this is actually misleading for themselves. Okay? You must believe that from the first Salat al-Istikhara, gradually the direction will be clear. Whether you like it or not, you must follow it. Okay, but this is why always people, you will listen now to the questions, they are all the time, how many times I'm supposed to pray Salat al-Istikhara? How many times I'm supposed to pray Salat al-Istikhara? So this is question number one. I have prayed Istikhara many times and never get clear dreams or feelings. I sometimes get a good or bad feeling, but they are not usually consistent. Several people I know are confused on the topic of Salat al-Istikhara. Is it meant to be prayed several days in a row until a decision is made, or only once? Is it meant to be prayed after one has pretty much made up their mind, or when someone hasn't really figured out what to do? Are there various valid options? Actually, number one, Salat al-Istikhara has a secret, which is your deep belief in Allah's knowledge. Those whom they have a problem with Salat al-Istikhara, their belief in Allah's knowledge is not clear, or is not deep, is not sincere. This is the problem. Actually, it must be prayed once, but it can be repeated three times. Okay, and whenever Allah will direct you to any direction, this is what is good for you, whether you like it or not. And you have to start praying it as soon as you start thinking of the matter. Okay, this is the answer of this question. The second question is, there is a pious lady in our community who has offered to pray istikhara for me to help me make a decision for marriage. My question to you is, you know, if this idea of relying on someone else's istikhara is a good idea and compatible with the teaching of Islam on how to make dua and decision, should I follow her advice to me on this issue or not? Actually, if you can do salat al-istikhara, you must do it for yourself, because you are the one asking Allah with full sincerity to guide you. Why you are not asking Allah and asking the pious woman to ask for you? You know, you must call on Allah by yourself, believing that Allah is answering the call of everyone. There are people actually, you know, whom they always like to depend on the biased people. But for me, I don't like this way. I feel that if you call on Allah with full sincerity, with the belief that, oh Allah, I am nothing, and you are everything, I am totally lost, I am helpless, and I need you, your help, with full sincerity, you may be better than any biased human being. Because the most important in Islam is how to connect with Allah the Almighty. Okay? The second you connect with Allah with deep sincerity, this means that you are very close to Allah. So in Islam, you know, we are not after the biased people. Okay? This is a good scholar, all praise to Allah. This is a good man, all praise to Allah. But you are also, you can be very close to Allah through your sincerity and your deep belief in Allah. And there is a very important fact. How to become close to Allah? By calling on Allah. The more you do dua to Allah, the more you feel the existence of Allah very close to you, the more you feel that you can call on Him more and more. So if you keep on asking the people to do dua for you, how you will feel Allah? How you will become close to Him? So actually, from my experience with the dua and supplication, it is the more you are calling on Allah, the more you call on Allah with sincerity, the more you feel your need to Allah the Almighty, the more inshallah you will feel that I want to do this dua for myself. Because none knows my feelings, none knows my need, none knows how my situation is very difficult. If I try to clarify it to the biased man or to the biased woman, he will not have the same feelings as the one who has the problem. Okay, this is a very important fact. None knows the problem of anyone except the one who has the problem. None has the feelings except the one who has the problem, so you can call for yourself. The second question is that I received an email regarding istikhara, and I had further questions regarding if you could please answer. I too have attempted to do istikhara regarding marriage and was unable to get some sort of dream, the same dream or feelings, as people commonly say. You had responded that one should do istikhara 7 times. It is 7 times in a row. Also, when it is appropriate time to perform istikhara. Let me answer this. Istikhara can be done with any sunnah prayer at any time of the day, but there are 3 times when the sun is going up after Fajr prayer and when the sun is coming down after Asr prayer. We must try to avoid these 2 times. Okay, but other than this, with any sunnah prayer, okay, you can pray istikhara at any time. When you are coming to the masjid and praying the 2 rak'ahs, you know, for the masjid, entering the masjid, you can do istikhara. When you pray at night, you can do istikhara. So, alhamdulillah, you can do it all the time. Suppose you have the period and you cannot pray. If you have the period and you can't pray, you can just do the dua. If it is emergency and you need the decision while you are not able to pray, you can do just the dua. So this is regarding the time of the prayer.
Can you ask for more than one thing at the time?
Yes, you can ask, but everyone with one dua. So for example, you know, I can call on Allah, oh Allah, if this marriage is good or not. Then I call again, oh Allah, if this job is good or not. You can make more than one inshallah. And also, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You can write it in a paper. It is the best to memorize this dua. But also, you can write it in a paper and you can read it from the paper. Allah is the most merciful. Allah is opening all the gates for every one of us. So long we are looking for His help. So you can try the paper. You can pray at any time. You can do the dua if you have the period. Try to reach Allah, sending to Him the message that Allah, it is your decision which I am looking for, and inshallah Allah will choose for you the best, and let us make the dua. For example, you pray sunnah of the Maghrib, okay, and then you want to have a decision before Aisha prayer. So at that time you will pray two rak'ah separate with the intention, oh Allah, this is istikhara prayer, just istikhara. And you do the two rak'ahs, and then after you finish from at-tashahud, you can do the dua while you are still in the prayer, or you can say, Assalamu alaykum, Assalamu alaykum, and you finish the prayer, and then you make the dua. Okay? There is also another fact regarding istikhara, which is asking others before or after istikhara. This is also a known fact in Islam. And now we said it is a good thing before praying istikhara to consult someone whom you know is sincere, caring, and has experience, who is trustworthy with regard to his religious commitment and knowledge. Actually, there are two points of view. You can do istikhara, and then suppose still you are not clear, you can consult a religious person whom you are the trust in his knowledge. You can ask him before istikhara. Some scholars, the advice before istikhara, some the advice after istikhara. Okay, so there are two points of view. You know, regarding these issues, there are always two points of view. It is up to you. But actually, for me personally, I prefer to start with salat al-istikhara, to ask Allah first, and then if there is still not clear, you can consult with a religious person, and let us make the dua. الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.